In Baghdad, the fate of American journalist Jill Carroll, who wrote for the Christian Science Monitor, is still not known. It's been more than 2 weeks since she was kidnapped. Her captors threatened to kill her last week.
Kidnappings are common in Iraq these days. Most of the victims are Iraqis, but as of this month, one estimate put the number of non-Iraqis kidnapped at more than 300. That includes 40 Americans. Joining me now to talk about this phenomenon is Robert Baer. He's a former CIA operative who spent much of his career in the Middle East. And welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Madeline.
So no one's heard from Jill Carroll's kidnappers since last Tuesday. That's when they demanded that all female Iraqis be released from custody within 72 hours or they would kill Jill Carroll. And that deadline has passed. We've still heard nothing. What do you make of that?
Well, I think they're probably still waiting for the release of the women prisoners. It doesn't necessarily mean that anything happened to her. She's obviously more valuable alive than she is dead. I think we can still hold out optimism for her.
And the group that kidnapped her is calling itself Revenge Brigades. Do you know anything about that group?
Nothing. These groups take on names for each kidnapping. It's probably made up on the spur of the moment or after the kidnapping. It's almost impossible to tell. And they steal each other's names as well to confuse us.
Now, kidnappings have become almost a fact of life in Iraq. How does it work? What is the mechanism, the way that they go about doing it?
Well, in the past, in many occasions in Iraq, criminal groups are used to kidnap people who then sell the victim to a political group or to another criminal group. They're trading hostages. It's a good business. And it also protects the political group behind the kidnapping because they're not actually caught in the act, but it's much easier to hold a hostage than it is to take one.
So there's actually a system in place.
Oh, there's absolutely a system. It's a market. You know, in a chaotic situation like Iraq, kidnapping markets immediately develop. Anybody could be a victim throughout Iraq right now.
Official U.S. policy is not to negotiate with hostage takers, but are there back-channel negotiations going on?
There's back channels all the time. There's a hostage unit inside the Green Zone that try to get in touch with these people. The U.S. Embassy in Amman also tries to get in touch with these people. We always say we won't negotiate with kidnappers, but we have to remember Iran-Contra. So don't forget that.
And who runs that office?
The embassy does. It's under the ambassador. And you have FBI, CIA people in it, Delta Force in case there's a tricky rescue, and the military. And they coordinate information, but the problem is that that office has almost no information at all about these groups. They're as bewildered as we are.
How often is there a demand, a simple demand just for money, and how often is that money just paid out?
It depends upon the group. You'll have a group of kidnappers in Iraq that simply want to force out all foreigners, that want to stop development. And then you have a group that's just out for the money.
Does the U.S. ever pay kidnappers for the release of hostages?
Not since Iran-Contra. I think probably the government's looking at it now that it's not going to solve anything because these Sunni movements, the main kidnappers in Iraq, are so fragmented that if you bought back one hostage, another would be taken. You would just improve the market for taking hostages.
But what about private entities, contracting companies, the Christian Science Monitor in this case?
Oh, absolutely. They'd be able to pretend it's a donation to some charitable fund, and that would allow them to pay to get the person back. And claiming they're not supporting terrorists. I mean, they're not obligated not to pay terrorists, like the government is.
So what would that mean for American foreign policy then? Would that counteract what America is trying to do by not negotiating with terrorists?
Well, to a degree, it would undermine it once these private entities start to pay. And the foreign governments, there's numerous stories, and they sound credible, that they're paying to get their hostages back, the Italians, the French, the Germans, and the rest of it. So that just adds to the further chaos until some sort of central government is put in place.
Robert Baer is a former CIA operative, and he joined us from his home in Colorado. Thanks.
Thanks.